You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast.
The Sick Podcast.
With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne équipe et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro, the Sick Podcast on this Wednesday, April 24th. And I'm going to tell you right now that this show was pre-recorded. Why? Well, because you're watching it right now just past 10 p.m. Eastern time. And Craig Button, who's a regular collaborator of mine during the regular season on Wednesdays, well, he's in Helsinki. And so you'd have to fast forward another 7 hours. So 10 p.m. our time would actually make it, what, 5 a.m. his time. So I'm not going to ask him to wake up at 5 a.m. So I actually did it a little bit earlier than the 10 p.m. Eastern time. So welcome all of you on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And thanks for watching The Sick Podcast. I am Marinaro, The Sick Podcast, brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America, driven to be different. Also brought to you in part by La Bitte TV, brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. La Bitte TV offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bitte TV, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground. We'll get to them a little bit later, as I will get to sportbuffshop.com a little bit later as well. I know exactly what I'm going to talk about today. And let's bring him in from TSN, their hockey analyst and director of scouting. Craig Button, how are you?
Good. Do you remember Alistair Cook?
Do I remember?
Masterpiece Theater.
Well, that's probably why I wasn't remembering. I'm embarrassed to say I don't, but now I do.
I feel like Alistair Cook on Masterpiece Theater. He used to sit in that chair and he used to just talk about, like, you know, what was on the docket for, you know, what was a masterpiece in theater. So you're a masterpiece. You're a great performer. So I'm going to be Alistair Cook tonight.
Thank you. I'll tell you what else is a masterpiece is that shirt. Boy, oh boy, you got your best shirt rocking tonight. I got to tell you, Craig, you got a few dandies, but of all of them, this one here is my favorite.
Well, I got a few other ones. You know, the whole trick for me, I try to keep the focus off the face, Tony, so it's working again.
good one. You know, actually, why don't we get to, you're in Helsinki. Let's start with that.
U18 tournament, U18 IIHF championship. Obviously, it's the best players under 18 in the world coming together. I've been watching this tournament for a long time. I have never seen Canada come into this tournament as a favorite. They are the favorites in this tournament. Now, you know, why are they not a favorite coming into the tournament ever? It's because they don't have access to all their best players because of the CHL playoffs going on. This is a unique year. All the series in Quebec and Ontario and in Western Canada, they're into their conference finals. So there's only 12 teams remaining in the CHL. So that means that Hockey Canada can draw from 48 teams. And the age group, this 06 age group, and there's a couple of 07s playing in the tournament, is really outstanding. So the ability for Team Canada to have availability of really good players. Now, there's some players. Caden Lidstrom is hurt. He's not going to participate. He would if he could. Berkeley Catton, same exact situation. Berkeley would be the captain of this team if he was available. So they're not available. Then you have other players, Sam Dickinson, Zane Perrette, Michael Misa. They're playing in the OHL Western Conference Final, so they're not available. But there's been some really good players that were available that weren't able to make this team. And it speaks to how good they are. It speaks to the quality of player. I've counted at least 14 first-round draft picks in this year's draft, next year's draft, and the year after with Gavin McKenna, who to me will be the first overall pick in 2026. And if he's not, just tell me where the player is that's going to unseat him, because I will go and watch that player. But it's a fantastic group. 14 players returned from the Hlinka-Gretzky team that won the gold medal in July, August of 2023. And like I said, never have I put Canada in the favorite seat coming into this tournament. They are the favorites. And there's other teams. Obviously, the USA is a good team, and it's certainly Sweden is good. Finland is always good. But Canada is the favorites here. And you start to think about their lines. You start to think about the players they have, and from the net to the blue line to up front, it is beyond impressive. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch. And yeah, there's other players in other countries. And I'm gonna say right now, Tony, you're probably gonna be able to watch anywhere between 14 to 18 first round draft picks from this year's draft alone in this tournament.
I know you're going to have your eyes on everyone, but are there one or two players that you'll probably be watching with a little bit more attention? If so, who and why?
Yeah, I don't know if you can narrow it down to one or two. I think there's a lot of different players here that are going to draw your attention. And the scouts, so forget about me. You know, the scouts are trying to – they know where they're picking. They know the general area where they're picking. So they're trying to zero in, okay, what players can be in that area of the draft for them, not only in the first round but into the second round. But you start to consider, okay, so TJ Ginland's here. And I mean, he's a top-end player. And then you have Ryder Ritchie. And, like, he might not be in the same range as TJ Ginland, but a really good player. You got Konsta Hellenius with – Finland. Yeah, you have Cole Eiserman with Team USA. You have Adam Jecko with Czechia. You have other, like when I start to think about I think about Liam Greentree with Canada. You start to think about Spencer Gill with Canada. These are all, and Spencer Gill is a big right shot defenseman. Liam Greentree is a power forward. So you start to think about those players. I mean, Marton isn't eligible for this year's draft. McQueen isn't eligible. McKenna's not eligible. Malcolm Spence isn't eligible. But there are so many good players. Jet Luchenko, who's going to be a first-round draft pick. There's so much quality at this tournament. And certainly for Team Canada, you start to say, geez, what a great opportunity. Because you don't get an opportunity to watch these players for the most part against the best players from Sweden and the best players from Finland and the best players from Czechia. And certainly they're going to pose a real challenge to everybody they play in this tournament, but it's high end. And you're looking at players that get an opportunity, one last opportunity to show the NHL scouts, you know, what they're made of. And certainly you can help yourself at this tournament. And that's what it's all about with respect to the draft for the NHL teams. But the quality is high. And I mean, McKenna, McQueen, and Marton. McKenna's not available to 2026. McQueen and Marton are eligible next year. That's Canada's first line. And their abilities are so good, and I think McKenna's the first pick in the 2026 draft, and I think Martone and McQueen are top five picks in the 2025 draft. That's how you start. That's how you start the with that as a top line. I mean, you have Liam Greentree on the second line potentially. You have TJ Ginla. You don't want to line Ryder Ritchie, who's a good player. Maxim Massé, who plays up in Chicoutimi. Jet Luchenko, who I just mentioned. I mean, it is high end, and they have all the elements you need to win this tournament. So it's going to be an exciting tournament again, like it is every year. But for Canada coming in as favorites, never seen it.
More on this tournament and a little bit more on some of these players a little bit later on. But, you know, one of the things we're going to be doing here on the Sick Podcast as we continue to talk Montreal Canadiens, and we do it pretty much 12 months a year. I got a plan actually set up in July and August where we're going to have some interviews with some, you know, former players from other teams, scouts, coaches, list goes on, and play some of those for everyone who's going to be watching. I've already mentioned that the shows, of course, are abbreviated than what you'll see during the, compared to what you would see during the season, where they go for an hour pretty much, and they're probably going to go for anywhere between 30 to 40 minutes now. But we're going to start report cards, and we're probably going to do it starting next week. Individual report cards. We've already put some of them on social media where we've asked our viewers and our listeners to give a grade on certain players. There's probably a report card coming out every day or every other day, grading them anywhere between A and F. I want to get started, but I want to get started from a management point of view. I've figured who better than a guy who was a former general manager like yourself to talk about some of the moves. And, you know, Jeff Gordon has been here.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Since late November, early December of 2021, shortly thereafter, a couple of months later, he hired Kent Hughes as his general manager. And I want to dissect some of the moves as I'm looking right now at one of my favorite websites for this kind of stuff, by the way, GoHabs.com for you Montreal Canadiens fans. I think it's Mario Perazzino's site. If it is, a hello to Mario. If it's not, it used to be, but I believe it's Mario's. You go to archives and you go to trades, and you'll see some of the, obviously all of the acquisitions going back forever pretty much. And I'm not going to go through every single move that Jeff Gordon and Kent Hughes made, obviously, but, you know, some of the big ones started pretty much February of 2022, Craig. Tyler Toffoli was traded to the Calgary Flames for Tyler Pitlick, Emil Heinemann, a first-round pick in 2022, which ended up being Philip Mishar, and a fifth-round pick in 2023, which ended up being goalie Yevgeny Volokhin. Heinemann has struggled with consistency with Laval thus far. Your thoughts on, you know, that first big move for Gordon and Hughes?
Well, you come in and they identified, you know, they wanted to create some cap space for themselves, and Tyler Toffoli had 2 years left on his contract, and certainly they were looking at that point in time. And I think you always have to be able to go back and look at it through the lens they were looking at that point in time. They hadn't even had a draft yet. Keep that in mind. There was no draft that they had. So they're looking at the prospect pool, and they're trying to understand, okay, what can we do here to create a little bit of cap space, and what can we do to try to give ourselves a better opportunity to get more draft picks to try to add to the prospect pool. So, you know, you end up getting a first round draft pick for Tyler Toffoli, which turns into Philip Mayshar, and Philip Mayshar has really developed very nicely. I mean, Pitlick is no longer a part of the organization. Heinemann, what you're trying to do when you're trying to acquire players like that, you're looking at your group and you're saying, okay, who do you like? What type of player could we get here? And trying to understand, okay, you're going to try to build out your team with different types of players, because you need different types of players throughout your roster. So Emil Heinemann is a good skater, a catalyst type player. Can he be a good forechecker? Can he create some opportunities for the team by using that skating, by using that forechecking ability on a third line? I mean, he's a third line player at the very best. If he turns out to be an NHL player, he'll be a third line player. That's his. But you need third line players. So you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, this is what we got, and we like him, and we really like his potential. Not every player that you like, not every player that you believe in his potential is going to reach that potential. But that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to add in different areas of your roster. That's how I saw Heinemann. They Pitlick coming back as a contract, and then they get the first round pick. The prize is Mayshar. The prize is the ability to fast forward your group, knowing that Tyler Toffoli isn't going to be in your group at the time when you're trying to time everything out with respect to the projection and development. Now Mayshar falls into that category, and he falls right in line with what you're trying to do. So, I mean, that takes planning, that takes an understanding of how you want to add to your group and how you want to add to your prospect pool. But I think you look at it just over 2 years out, I mean, Mayshar has a chance to be a real solid NHL player, and he's certainly tracked that way.
I hope so. About 32 days after the Canadiens trade Tyler Toffoli, they go out and trade Ben Chiarot. And, of course, he's the type of player that a lot of teams would like to have around the trade deadline because, of course, of his experience in the playoffs and shut down defensemen and blocks a lot of shots and kills penalties. He's traded to Florida for Tyler Smolanik, a 2023 first-rounder, pick traded to Colorado, 2022 fourth-round pick. Cedric Gaindon, left winger, was their pick. But you talked about cap space, and you talk about trying to acquire assets. That's another thing they were trying to do in trading Ben Chiarot.
Well, they were. And I believe that first-round draft pick ended up becoming turned into Alex Newhook, if I recall correctly. Is that correct? In that trade that went to Colorado?
I'd have to look.
First-round pick that ended up going to Colorado? I'm pretty sure that Colorado took Goliath with that pick from Florida, which allowed the Montreal Canadiens to get Alex Newhook.
It could very well be. I believe so. Yes, I believe so.
Yeah,
I believe so.
I'm pretty sure.
You're actually 100% correct because this was in 2022. And then in June of 2023, that's the pick, of course, that was traded for Newhook. And among other picks, by the way, Johnny Fairbrother was traded, and a 2023 37th pick overall was traded to Tampa, and they ended up getting Ethan Gauthier. And anyway, to answer your question, yes, Goliath was traded to Colorado.
So you turn Chiarot. Now, keep in mind, you take Chiarot. You're trying to look at where you're trying. At the same time that Montreal is making that trade for Chiarot,
yeah,
they're not looking at Alex Newhook as a potential. What they're trying to do is create space for themselves with the salary cap, so that when things arise, things that you don't even know may arise, because Alex Newhook was on a Colorado Avalanche team at that point in time that was pushing for a Stanley Cup and ultimately won a Stanley Cup.
He
wasn't available when they traded Ben Chiarot. Now, Kent Hughes, who represented Alex Newhook, he could be saying, okay, we're going to keep our eyes out here. But you have to create space for yourself within your salary cap to be able to take advantage of opportunities that you don't even know are going to come about. So when we look back at it in time, Ben Sherrod becomes a first round draft pick. You start to say, okay, what can we do with this? And, you know, you're taking a chance on other players. I mean, you're taking a chance on Smolanic. Smolanic is no different than Heinemann. You're looking and going, okay, this guy's got this. He's got these qualities. He needs some development time. Let's see what we can do with him, and let's see how we handle him and how he progresses under. But obviously, you like a player. Obviously, you wouldn't trade for him if you didn't like the player. So they like Smolanic, and you know you're going to work with the players that you get into your organization. But the prize here is Newhook.
Yeah,
and you know, Ben Sherratt wasn't able to get things in place in Florida to help them that year, understanding what they were doing.
Yeah.
And now he finds himself in Detroit. But Newhook's become a real key member of the Montreal Canadiens movement towards a little bit more skill, an age group that falls in a range where you're not just young kids. You got some insulation, and Newhook's got some potential and some upward mobility, I would call it. So
yeah,
that's how I evaluate that trade.
Yeah, and it wasn't, of course, it wasn't Goliath who was traded to Colorado. It was the first-round pick that was traded to Colorado who drafted Goliath.
And they used it to draft Goliath, right?
Fantastic. Yeah, good memory by you, Craig. Awesome stuff. All right, okay. Moving on, there were other moves. So after they trade Sherratt, and this is back on March 16 of 2022, 5 days later, they trade Brett Kulak to the Edmonton Oilers, and in return, they get defenseman William Legason. And they get a second round pick in 2022 and a seventh round pick in 2024. Now, that second round pick that they got in 2022, they ended up drafting Lane Hutson with that pick. I mean, Kulak's on an Edmonton team and plays as a regular on an Edmonton team, which is good for them. But if I would have told you that trading Kulak would ended up turning into a draft pick, which would ended up turning into Lane Hutson, even though he's got just a small sample size of two NHL games under his belt, I think it's safe to say you would have done it again.
Well, absolutely. Again, like you're trying to give yourself more opportunity come draft time. You're trusting your scouting staff that they're going to make good picks, but you're arming your scouting staff by giving them the more picks and you're saying, okay, here, we're going to get some more picks. Brent Kulak's a bottom pair defenseman. And so you're looking at Brent Kulak and you're going, okay, we get a second round pick for him. We're opening up some, and you're not just opening up cap space. You're also opening up opportunity for other players to be able to come into your lineup and play and compete for a spot and start to consider again. You don't know what opportunities are going to come about. You don't know how you're going to take advantage of an opportunity with the second round pick. Obviously, Lane Hutson being drafted at that point in the draft's a fantastic selection. But then you're also creating space for other players to try to come in and earn a spot. And certainly, you know what ends up happening when you consider the trade that they eventually make for Michael Matheson coming over. And so you move out Kulak at his dollars and you get a second round pick to move it forward. And then you're coming back in with Matheson. Now, I know Matheson happened down the line, but that's what you're trying to do. You know, you can't look at the pick in a vacuum, but you have to operate with, okay, this is what we have right now. We don't know that the second round pick is going to be Michael Matheson. We don't know, is going to be Lane Hutson. We don't know that the first round pick is going to be Philip Mayshar, but we're going to give opportunity to our scouting staff who we really believe in to have more selections and more opportunity to make selections that can help our team. That's exactly what happens in the case of those two players.
Yeah, on that same day, which was March 21st of 2022, which, if memory serves me well, I believe was trade deadline day, the Montreal Canadiens also traded Arturi Lehkonen to the Colorado Avalanche for defenseman Justin Barron and a second-round pick in 2024. We know this trade has definitely worked out for Colorado. Lehkonen went on to win a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche, went on to score big goals. You can play him anywhere in your lineup, first line, second line, third line, you name it. He kills penalties. He's responsible. Kind of guy you want have on the ice if you're actually leading by a goal. List goes on and on. Lehkonen for Justin Barron is advantage Colorado so far, but we still don't know what the Montreal Canadiens are going to do with that second round pick in 2024. And it might be quite some time before we actually find out what that pick amounts to. But your thoughts on that deal?
Well, I mean, Archery was also going to be a free agent. So there was no guarantee that Montreal was going to be able to keep Archery Lehkonen in the fold, so to speak, right? So they were looking at it and going, I'm sure they had engaged at different points in time, probably under Mark, probably with Jeff, and then eventually with Kent. You know, what's it going to take to get Archery here? What does it look like for our team? You know, you got to keep in mind at that time also Montreal was clearly tracking to the bottom of the league and a first overall pick where there was – or the potential for a first overall pick where there was a lot of hype on players at that part, at the top end of the draft. So you're trying to give yourself an opportunity to get a return for a player that you might not be able to keep. So you get a right shot defenseman, Justin Barron, who had been part of he'd been a first round pick by the Colorado Avalanche. He's young. He falls into that category of younger players that aren't green, but are just going that are just starting to move into another level of their development. And so what you're trying to do is you're saying, we're going to pay and understand what I mean by pay. You're going to pay a price in terms of trading Archery Lehkonen to get what Colorado has invested in Justin Barron in the development period of time. And now you're going to try to take advantage of that development time with a player that you weren't sure you were going to keep. And Kent comes in and Jeff are there and they say, well, you know what? Maybe he doesn't fit to what we're trying to do at the price that they were looking at signing him for. So it's not so much that, you know, Colorado, you know, ended up winning a Stanley Cup and Archery ended up being a really good key part of that. It's also like understanding that they might have got nothing for him. And now, you know, you get a younger defenseman, you got another draft pick here in 2024 coming up. Let's see what you do with it. Like, again, let's see how Justin develops and let's see what happens with that pick.
Once again, it's all about stockpiling assets at that point. Now, Shea Weber was traded for Evgeny Dadonov, which they took a chance on Dadonov, but it was really to get rid of Shea Weber's contract, of course. So we don't have to talk about that one in length. But on July 7th of 2022, they trade Alex Romanov, who had like a pretty good season for the Canadiens, showed some signs that it could be a, now, who knows, maybe a poor man's Darius Kasparaitis. And they trade also a fourth round pick in 2022 to the New York Islanders. In return, they get a 2022 first round pick, 13th overall, which then in turn, they traded to Chicago. Now, this is once again the night of the draft, along with a third round pick of 2022. So that pick they got from the Islanders plus a third round pick of their own. And in return, they acquire Kirby Dach from the Chicago Blackhawks. So, you know, they were looking for a centerman to insulate Suzuki. They were looking to acquire a big centerman. That's the guy they went after, Craig.
Well, and taking advantage, again, you have to create opportunity for yourself. Taking advantage of a franchise that was clearly looking to completely retool, completely rebuild. That's where Chicago was at. And, you know, you consider where Kirby was the third overall pick and you're looking at his potential. And certainly that's what drew the attention of the Montreal Canadiens. It's fascinating when you think about it, because going into that draft, you know, there's the debate about is it Wright? Is it Slafkovský? Is it maybe even Cooley? And what was fascinating to me, you know, is once they drafted Slafkovský, okay, there's nothing wrong with drafting Slafkovský first overall. But once they traded for Dach, and I'm going to go one step further, and once they drafted Owen Beck and with the first pick round, you kind of go, there was no need to draft Shane Wright. The obvious pick, once you saw the other moves that they'd made, was to draft the big winger. And because you know you're getting that big center in Kirby Dach and a young center, he's 21 years old at the time, and you're getting a young center in Owen Beck that the Montreal Canadiens clearly liked and is a really good prospect. And so that now gives you, because when they're going to make that pick, they're not doing it in a vacuum. They know they have the Dach deal pretty much in place, if not in place. They know they like Beck. They end up getting him. They're using another first-round pick to take Mayshar in that draft. So you start to think about everything they're doing. It's not an isolation. So people go, oh, how could you take Slafkovský over Wright? But once they announced that trade for Doc, I looked at myself and I go, well, this is obvious. This is very clear why they're drafting Slafkovský one, and because they're getting Doc. So what are you going to do? You're going to draft Shane Wright. You have Suzuki. You're going to trade for Doc. Now you're log jamming your center ice and you're not building out your team. I thought it was a brilliant move by the Montreal Canadiens.
In a span of less than 10 days in the middle of July, they made a couple of others very big moves. They acquire Sean Monahan from Calgary, as well as a 2025 conditional first round pick in return for future considerations. And then they go out and they trade two players who wanted to play in the United States, Jeff Petrie and Ryan Poehling. And they get Michael Matheson, a West Island boy from Montreal, and a fourth round pick who they end up drafting, Bogdan Konyushkov, who's a defenseman. I mean, that's a home run if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Not to mention Monahan in the first round pick.
Well, I mean, Monahan comes over. I mean, Calgary was trying to create cap space because they wanted to go and sign Nazem Kadri. And, you know, Monahan was coming off of some surgeries, and Montreal's looking at, okay, we'll take Monahan, and we're gonna get a first round draft pick. And then you consider that they went and got a young Michael Matheson. I mean, Michael Matheson at that point in time is a young defenseman, and certainly it's not just a home run. I mean, you know, Dave Van Horn. I mean, we know that he called the Expos play by play for years. I mean, he would have said deep to left center, and that ball is out of here. And certainly that's what Jeff and Kent were able to do, getting Michael. And Michael Matheson has been, in my view, excellent for the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, he's been excellent.
And not only that, it's also that he's, because he can play so many minutes, he also insulates players. He did, like, younger defensemen don't have to play as much. Remember, at the same time these moves are going on, Marty St. Louis is already in place. So you're also saying to your coach, we're not going to force you to play young guys that might not be ready. We're not going to force you to play young players more minutes than you're comfortable with. And the Michael Matheson trade, to me, has turned out to be brilliant. I mean, the question should be, what the hell were the Pittsburgh Penguins thinking about?
Yeah, you're right about that. At the start,
because they also traded just quickly. I don't want to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
But then they go and trade John Marino that summer. Pittsburgh Penguins went and said, we're going to make our team worse. Great job, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and they tried to make the playoffs this year. They didn't, and I'm convinced if they have Michael Matheson and John Marino, they definitely get into the playoffs. There's no doubt in my mind.
I agree.
All right, okay. So a couple of months after, on the start of the NHL season, teams start putting players on waivers. And Winnipeg,
you buried the lead. My daughter went and got married in August of 2022. I was able to acquire a son-in-law, which was phenomenal.
Good one. Is he still phenomenal?
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's an Edmonton Oilers fan, and my daughter is a huge Calgary Flames fan.
Oh,
and
wow.
When I say fans, I mean, they are dyed-in-the-wool fans. Yeah. So it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting to see the back and forth.
Hey, it's a good thing they weren't married in the 80s, because let me tell you, they would have had their fair share of arguments, I think, especially when Gretzky scored top shelf on Vernon. Huh? But anyway.
Yeah, that was something, wasn't it?
What a goal. Unbelievable. I love Wayne Gretzky. Thank you so much. Who doesn't? All right. Okay. At the start of the NHL season in what was 2022, they pick up Jonathan Kovacevic on waivers. And you know what? Sometimes you pick up players on waivers and they work out, and sometimes they don't. And not to say that Jonathan Kovacevic has a very high ceiling, because I don't think he does, Craig, but he was a useful soldier for the Montreal Canadiens and has been.
And keep in mind, it goes to what I was just mentioning. You're trying to insulate some of your younger defenders. And so you're looking and you're going, okay, we've scouted him. We've watched him. Here's the opportunity we want to give him. Here's the spot we want to play. And they're not just looking at one player. More times than not, you're looking at multiple players. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, a player shows up on waivers and you go, wait a second, we're going to get an early crack at this guy. And we think he can come in and play. The old saying, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I think the Montreal Canadiens gained big time by getting Jonathan Kovacevic into their lineup. And he gave them some really good, solid play and the time he was in Montreal.
All right, so let's move on and take a look at some other moves that the Montreal Canadiens management team may have made along the way. All right, so let's fast forward to 2023. Dadonov goes to Dallas for Gurianov. I think Dallas won that deal. Gurianov was here for a cup of coffee, but I'm not so sure that Dallas hit it out of the park, but they did end up winning that deal, albeit slightly, I think. All right, and then in June of 2023, there you have it, the Montreal Canadiens trade a first-round pick. And a second round pick and Jani Fairbrother. And in return, they get Alex Newhook. When this deal went down, Craig, which was before the draft, a lot of people were looking at it and saying, you know what? Why didn't you just keep your picks for draft night? Why didn't you see if somebody else was on the table that was better than Alex Newhook? But knowing what we know now, the season that Alex Newhook had, playing on the wing, playing at center, a big increase in his numbers, albeit in an injury-plagued season where he played less games than, and if he would have played all the games, he would have put up really good numbers. I think it's safe to say that Alex Newhook is a good fit with the Canadiens.
Well, I don't want to trump you here. I think it was a great fit. Everybody can talk about draft night and everything. Alex Newhook was the 16th overall pick in an NHL draft. He wasn't a free agent signing. He develops. So again, you're buying development time that another organization has put into the player, and he's won a Stanley Cup. And by the way, he's a young player that fits right into what you're trying to do with your philosophy. Like, give me a break. That like you want the draft pick. The draft pick, if they take him, is going to show up somewhere in 3 years' time. Like, Alex Newhook right now is helping your team. And as you try to move forward, that becomes really significant.
Like, and he's like, young. And he's young.
That's what I mean. That was a no-brainer. That was an absolute no-brainer. Keep in mind, that was the 31st pick in the draft they gave up.
Yes.
And people go, first-round draft pick. Yeah, okay, great, first-round draft. That's a second-round draft pick. That's what it is. And they get a really good young player. Keep this in mind. Kent Hughes was his agent, knows him really well, really believes that he's ready to take those next steps. And you paid now for another team to develop him, pay the signing bonus, go through the time when he's trying to find his way into the NHL, and now you're getting a ready-to-play NHL player with a lot of potential. I mean, it's a home run. I mean, like, there's no other way to put it. It's a home run. It's a home run like the Matheson. It's a home run like the Kirby Dach deal. Like, they've hit three dingers here.
Yeah, okay. You're right about that. And, you know, they go on. They go on to make other moves as well. So they acquire Alex Newhook. And then after that, they end up trading Joel Edmondson to the Washington Capitals. They're trying to get younger. They're trying to get some of their younger defensemen into the lineup. They're trying to stockpile assets and draft picks. And they're trying to cut some salary off the books. So they trade Edmondson. They got a third-round pick. They got a seventh-round pick. And 50% salary retention on that one. Joel Edmondson could still play. But at that point, current time where the Canadiens were with their rebuild, they had traded Sherratt 1 year prior to that. They had traded Jeff Petrie as well. Good move again.
So you also know this. So you're also looking at your young players and you're looking and you're trying to say, okay, do we want to block our young players? You know exactly what Joel Edmondson is. And Joel Edmondson's a really good competitor. Joel Edmondson's a bottom pair defenseman. So now you're looking at your young players. You have Matheson in place. You've watched Arbor Jack guy come in and play really, really well, who gives you a lot of edge on the blue. You're watching what Jordan Harris is doing. You're watching closely what Jaden Struble is doing in the minors. I'm just talking about left shot defensemen, right? So if you keep Edmondson, two players are getting blocked. Two players are getting blocked. And when players are ready to try to take those next steps, you can't block. You have to create space for them. You have to create space for them to be able to show that they can take hold of a spot. I'm not going to say that there's 100% conviction that this player's ready and that player's ready. But if you don't create space for them, they don't know if they're ready. You don't know if they're ready. And that is blocking a player. I mean, you think about you know, Jayden Struble coming in. And I was on the West Coast trip when he played his first game.
Yeah.
And right from game one, it was like, wow. Like the poise. Obviously, we know the skating, but he was really settled. And I don't think he ever broke out of that. I think he was exactly that. But if you don't have space for these players to come in and not only test themselves but show you what they're capable of, you're failing your development model. So Joel Edmondson, goes to Washington. They're looking for that type of player, just like the Toronto Maple Leafs are looking for that type of player when they acquire Joel Edmondson. It's not a knock against Joel Edmondson. It's about your plan and carrying it forth and getting your younger, not just putting young players in, putting in young players that need an opportunity to show what they have. And I would suggest that that's exactly – and even when you think about it, Arbour had to go down to the minors and play a little bit in Laval. He came back much more seasoned, much more able to settle into his game. You know, like I just talked about Jayden, and Jordan Harris has been a really good player. Like, you might not find out how good Jayden Struble is if you have Joel Edmondson. Now you're dealing with uncertainty. Managers, trust me on this, Tony, don't want to be dealing with uncertainty when it comes to young prospects. The great Sam Pollock used to say this about their young players. We are not going to consider players that we have drafted high, that we think highly of, until we've tested them in our own group.
Sounds good. The Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Playground. You don't want to miss Night Fever live at Playground Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Dance the night away and experience the magic of the Bee Gees music and a show that celebrates their timeless legacy. This show will take place under the Grand Marquis, a beautiful temporary structure that's perfect for electrifying events like this one. Playground, your entertainment destination. Visit playground.ca for details. Also, a shout out to sportbuffshop.com. Shop all your sports licensed lifestyle apparels, including hoodies, caps, and t-shirts of your favorite teams from all major leagues. At sportbuffshop.com, use code SICK10 for 10% off on all of their items. All right. Wrapping up on some of their big moves. In 2023, they made a couple. One was Mike Hoffman, traded to San Jose with Rem Pitlick. It's good to see that because for a second there, I thought it was Tyler, but it was Rem. In return, the Canadians get back Jeff Petrie, 25% retained, Casey DeSmith, and Nathan Legare, and a 2025 second-round pick from Pittsburgh. When this deal went down, we knew that Mike Hoffman's days were counted with the Montreal Canadiens, infinite into the culture of what they were building, and Rem Pitlick, unfortunately, struggled with consistency, wasn't able to find the chair. But when Jeff Petrie came back, everyone started scratching their heads, Craig, saying, what in the world is going on? But if you knew Kent Hughes well at that point, you said, you know what? He's just taking Petrie because he's going to end up flipping Petrie to someone else, which he did 9 days later for Gustav Lindstrom, a 2025 fourth-round pick, and 50% salary retention. Then they take Casey DeSmith, which they got in the deal, traded to Vancouver for Tanner Pearson because, of course, the Canadians had a plethora of goaltenders, and a 2025 third-round pick. There you have it again, adding an asset, a third-round pick in 2025. On to 2024, and the major deals, we know them, Sean Monahan in early February, got traded to Winnipeg for a first-round pick of 2024, a third-round pick of 2027, and Jake Allen gets traded on trade deadline day for a third-round pick. The Canadians retain 50% of the salary. Those are the moves that have been made thus far from the duo of Gordon and Hughes. Craig Button will end it here in the next minute or two. Tell me what you've liked. Tell me what you've loved. Tell me where you think maybe they may have dropped the ball or they probably couldn't do a little bit better, could have done better. And give me a grade on your report card.
They haven't dropped the ball. This is part of their plan, part of the process of trying to move forward in a lot of different areas. You can't just gloss over the Sean Monahan deal because They brought Sean in and they really communicated to Sean what they were going to try to do to help him and to help him not only get back to playing at the level that Sean wanted to play at, but they would also accommodate him. Now, in the 22-23 season, he got hurt. They weren't able to do it. And Kent and Jeff came back and said, no, we'll bring you back on another year and we'll stay committed to what we were doing. So, that's culture. That's helping players find their game. At the same time, you're also saying to yourself, listen, you know what? We need to help ourselves, and this is how we're going to try to do that. Sean was excellent for the Montreal Canadiens. He's been excellent for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, to me, that's it's a win for the Winnipeg Jets, and it's a win for the Montreal Canadiens, not just for the first-round pick, but in the way they treated players. That also goes back to Jeff Petrie. That also goes back to Casey DeSmith, the understanding that we're going to work with you and we're going to try to help you get to a place. Now, I already said they hit three dingers. I mean, I've already said they've hit three dingers here. But now you're moving into a different level of progress and where you're going to evaluate. What I would say is, I mean, like, I don't know how, when you consider Jeff came in November of 2021, Kent came in 2022 of February. Yeah. And to me, what they've done in terms of evaluating their young players, acquiring draft picks, acquiring young players, that's A. That's an A. Now, what you got to do is this, you don't just sit there and go, I got an A, the semester ends. You know, this part of it has ended. They have so many young prospects, good young prospects. They have so many draft picks. The next steps for them are, what are the next moves you're going to make? How are you going to take advantage of your real craftsmanship to this point in time? Because that's what I call it. I call it craftsmanship. And again, we can look at it now in its whole. They're just looking at different times and going, we're going to create opportunity for ourselves. We're going to make sure that we have a cap space and assets if an opportunity comes about. Kirby Dach, Mike Matheson, certainly that comes into play. And now you start to move forward. I think this coming summer, and when I say summer, I'm talking about now. I'm talking about May. I'm talking about June into the draft and free agency. There's going to be new opportunities for the Montreal Canadiens. I don't think it's any more about the team sitting back and going, we got lots of young players. Let's see what we got their young players. They've made some real good steps forward. They got a real good spirit to their team. But when you look at where they sit, not only in the standings, but in their defensive and offensive metrics, they're in the bottom 5-6 teams in the league, 5-7 teams in the league. They need to find themselves. I've said this, Tony. They need to find themselves in that 18-24 range, and closer to 18 than 24. 18-22 would be nice.
I agree with
you. I know they've talked about competing for, but that's the opportunities that they're going to be looking to explore and try to take advantage of. I've said this. I'll finish with this. All these good young prospects they have, and they got a lot of good ones, and they got all the shelves in the prospect cupboard filled. They're not all going to play for the Montreal Canadiens. The key now for Jeff and Kent is, how do you use your prospect pool? How do you use your draft picks to help your team really take a good, strong step forward next year? And that is about to be, and that is TBD, to be determined. But to this point in time, I give them an A. And even the way they handled the goaltending situation, that's an A.
I love it. And I'm sure Montreal Canadiens fans love it too. Craig Button, special thanks to you, director of scouting with TSN and their hockey analyst in Helsinki for the under-18s. And the next time I talk to you, I can't wait to talk to you about the under-18s and talk about some performances. And the list goes on and on. We'll talk to you then.
And we will. And in Finnish, thank you, they say kiitos.
Kiitos. All right. Sounds like my diet. Keto. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Special thanks to our partners and our sponsors, of course, Energy Transportation Group, as well as Labitta TV, as well as Playground, and as well as SportBuffShop.com. For Agnello and Sammy Master Control, thank you all for watching. Thank you to Craig Bunn in Helsinki, Finland. And tell your friends to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's absolutely free. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple. It's our way of feeling the love. For Agnello, Sammy, at Master Control, they're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. La Vida TV, embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.